Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
God, you're such a corned beef pasty. You dirty little corned beef pasty.
It's showtime, folks!
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look at Goldberg! He's ready! Oh, yeah!
It's going to be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
It's the greatest hour in the history of our sport! It's the Cold Holly Classic Nigel! We're here.
Keep making noise until you can't hear all of them.
Sam Driver adjusts his microphone. Do not adjust your podcast weapon of choice. It is the Cultaholic Classic Nitro Review. Yeah. This is where we're watching every fucking episode of Monday Nitro from its beginning to its bitter end. Who be we? I be fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, Tom Campbell, with the resident WCW kid of Cultaholic, Sam Driver.
Oh, I was going to try and burp. All right. How you doing?
I can have a go.
Hold on. Oh.
Hey!
He's ruined it now.
I've got acid reflux at the moment, so it's really good for bringing up the burps.
You've ruined it.
I've ruined it twice now.
You've ruined it twice. It's my gimmick.
What? Oh, it's your gimmick, is it? That famous gimmick that you do where you burp at the start of everyone.
I'm going to management. This is serious. I'm going to tell you tribunal. That's my gimmick.
That's fine.
It's fucking theft.
Hang on, I'll give you one back then.
You're like the hardcore hack to my Sandman, except you're played by a different person to me.
I'm getting gaslit here. The thought that every episode you've burped at some point. I'm
like, every single time I burp every time we start off.
It's a tradition.
I'm going. I know where the police station is in town. It's behind the train station.
Ooh, show off.
I'll go there. I'll tell them theft. Report theft.
This man did a burp.
That's my thing. Yeah.
Please, you have to say this man did a burp, and that's my gimmick. And just see how they react to no other context.
For wasting police time. I wish Newcastle was that dead. Jesus.
Oh, it's true. What's new, pussycat?
Not much at all. Just playing some Wrestle Empire. Trying to stay healthy. Went to the gym yesterday.
How'd that go?
It was good. Just it's like gym. And finding something to do on an evening that's not like self-destructive.
Okay,
so like, yeah, so like having a hobby again, but then it's like I need a fucking desk, so I can't do certain things at home because I've got like a setup, but I need a big desk. And to be honest, at the point I'm at right now with how bad my house is, with the tenancy and everything, I don't want to be buying loads of furniture and shit to have like a desk set up to sit and then have to build that to then take it down and probably move somewhere else.
Oh, do you think you might be moving soon?
Probably, because like it's fucked. They're like, oh, we're going to do a house inspection on March 12th. And it's like, there's literally an entire corridor full of black mold downstairs now.
Jeez.
And your last response, I reported that in December. It's gotten worse. It's gotten to the point where the whole corridor is bad with it now. And your last response was, well, we're still trying to reach your landlady, but we can't reach her. And in the meantime, I find out who she is, where she works. I know everything about her. And it's like, I'll reach her.
Yeah, if you don't I'll fucking speak to her.
But it's like at the point where I need to actually probably look at the council properly now. Because the council were like, you got to give it X amount of time and then come back to us. But yeah, there's that. There's all sorts of crap. But I've got to just read or do something constructive, not just watch the same old shit every night.
Do you do much reading?
I used to read a lot. I do still quite read a lot, but it comes in waves, whereas I used to just read every night. Now it's sort of like, it's like a couple of times a week.
What's the last book that you got into?
I'm reading a lot of like non-fiction at the minute, so I'm listening. I'm reading one at the minute called the Return of the Russian Leviathan, which is all about, it counterpoints like the whole media around, it's because I think it's like 2018, 2019, so it's before lockdown. But it's sort of, while the media's going like, Russia is rising back to the top and Russia's doing amazingly and Russia's doing all this, it's actual reports from inside Russia about just various things that have been reported on positively in the West. They'll do you a full breakdown. But it's one of the more fun things was one of the main roads out of Moscow, like the motorway, it's just mud. Like they were going to sort the road and then like stuff got delivered. Nobody knows where the stuff's gone. So it's just mud. Like there's a bit road for a bit and the rest of it, it's just mud.
Just mud.
Yeah. And whoever's received the backhanders on the backhanders on the backhanders has done something with the gravel and everything needed for the road. So it's just mud.
So that was the last. That was the last one then.
So that's what I'm reading. Well, there's that. There's a couple of books where it's again like I'm really into like Russian politics and stuff and the Cold War and all that. So I read a lot of stuff on that. What's it called again? I'm reading one that's it's by Sergei Plokhy, but it's about the end of the Soviet Union.
Oh wow!
So it's about like the how it all happens, sort of bit by bit. But that's really good as well. And then other than that, Terry Pratchett's every now and then. But I've been trying to stay on top of the Three Musketeers because I love that book. And I want to reread it. And Treasure Island, I tend to read once a year because I mean I fucking love pirates. I'm not gonna lie,
they're classics. Those two,
yeah,
absolute classics.
Well, Three Musketeers is hilarious as well. It was really, really funny.
I think hobbies are important because we do tend to, I think because what we do is we're so passionate about it anyway. Well, you have to have something that isn't wrestling.
But I've got like, I like painting miniatures and stuff and I've got loads of Warhammer to paint. But it's like when you've got a cat, you can't really have like loads of tiny little bits of plastic around. And
you can, it's fun. Like they love it.
Permanent paint, like a toxic permanent paint, you know, knockable, overable onto a carpet and shit. So it's like, until I have a proper desk and stuff, I can't really do any painting.
Fluffy boy.
And he's also like, I don't know where he came from beforehand, but I think whoever had him beforehand left him like in rooms on his own a lot, because he does not like being, like if you are in the house alone with him and you close the door, he will not let you fucking.
I think that's a cat thing, because there's a lot of times like Pablo will go to the front door and he'll be in, he'll meow and scratch at the front door and I'll open the front door, go on then, and he'll go, nah,
oh no, that's to, that's
off.
To go out. I mean, like I've had loads of cats before and I've never had the issue with like when you close the door inside and you sit in your room and he's in the living room and has the full run of the house, he will do nothing but make loud noise and jump for the door handle.
He
to
just
get
wants
in.
To be
like,
near
he
you.
Wants to be with you or like get the fuck out, and that's it. So it's like I can't really do certain shit and it's annoying because I really want to carry on with this. So I think I'm gonna do some more printmaking, but I've got to get some decent liquid acrylic for it, and it's expensive.
It's expensive, isn't it, getting the paint stuff? I think
it's just, it's
it
expensive
before.
Generally, but like cost of living on top of it is just like fucking
it's a lot, isn't it? It's a lot. Would you look, I mean, I got a lovely desk at home which was never gonna be a permanent option, but I've had it about 2 years now, and it was one that somebody near us was giving away.
I'm fine with that. It's more just the rigmarole of having to get one, build it, put it all up, and then when I move it with me and do all that shit. It's like I'd rather just wait till I move and just get one.
Fair enough.
And then it's done, because I've got to downsize and get rid of a load of shit anyway, because I've got so much stuff. But it's like you just need to get some form of hobby. So the printmaking's easy because I've got a small desk in the living room where I can just sit and be doing something else and sit and making prints and do all that. So it's like if I can get some decent liquid acrylic and I can start getting the plate to pull properly, then we're laughing.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I'm trying to make Jim Duggaroni pizza flyers and just leave them all over town. I'm not even kidding. I've got a whole Jim Duggaroni pizza flyer, like the type of shit that'll get put through your door. That's what I want to make them and sell them to the five listeners of the podcast.
Well, if you would like one, classicacultaholic.com. Put your order in now.
In an array of fetching colours.
You might get one.
Jim Duggaroni pizza print.
You might get one thrown through your letterbox. Other translucent
time
material.
As well, I've got loads of like music video stuff on the go.
Nice. So
it's like, I'll be starting my own, like, I guess, vanity label you know, like my own production company for that sort of work this year as well, which is nice. So it's like all my video work will go through that when it's like external stuff. So it's good.
Nice. That's all very exciting.
Yeah.
I'm back on the running.
Are you really?
Yes. So by the time you've heard this, I think I've now done 6 runs.
Okay.
Because I'm training for the Great North Run.
Yes.
Which I signed up for. And I tell you what, I could not have fathomed how out of shape I got. Because the runs have been horrible so far.
When you start like working out again, it's like the hardest bit is that initial point. And then the second you get about 4 or 5 good workouts under you, like to a good like regime, like you're hitting at the same time every day or whatever, you just don't want to go wrong from there. So the momentum only picks up. But it's the same with like starting back in the gym. It's just like, what the fuck? And then after like 2 or 3 weeks, you're like, you get antsy if you don't go. Like, it's just like, I need to go, but I can't go today. It's too fucking busy. Like, I've got no time. But you'll be fine.
They say the sweet spot's about 21 days, isn't it? When you do something for 21 days, it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
So we're halfway there living on a prayer.
Yeah.
I reckon so by now. But more important than that, we're back in 1996. Whether you want to be or not, we are here. And it is November the 4th of 1996.
And we're in Grand Rapids.
We are in Grand Rapids. Before we get into Grand Rapids, before we ride the rapids to Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids.
Let's have a little look at the boring real world of what's happening this particular week in 1996. November the 4th, number one movie in the US is Romeo and Juliet.
The Baz Luhrmann spectacle.
The Baz Luhrmann spectacle starring Claire Danes and Leonardo DiCaprio.
I remember having to watch that in school and being like, why the fuck are they all talking like old Englandish? And then just shaking my head and being like, pathetic.
Pathetic.
And then you go back and look at it now and it's like, yeah, Baz Luhrmann knows how to visually make a film. I'd still say that. I mean, most of his stuff's a bit like, yeah, but he knows what he's doing.
Claire Danes got the role as Juliet. Do you know who was offered the role before her?
Who?
Right, 2 people. Natalie Portman.
Hulk Hogan. Like, this was before Metallica. Yeah, he was almost Juliet. Then he was the bassist in Metallica. There was somebody who, when I said that in Golden Age, I said that Hogan's miming along during Stand Back. The bass isn't fucking plugged in. He is miming along. But it was like, he actually played bass in a band before. I was like, I know he fucking played bass. It's root notes. It's Hogan. He knows 5 notes. He knows 5 moves. It works.
Oh, to have the sheer joy of somebody who goes, oh, I've enjoyed this documentary, but I just correct it.
I think you're a cunt there, Sam.
Jeez.
I think everything you know, you don't know.
Is that you? That does that?
That's you out there, right?
You
now.
Is that you?
You know what you can do?
Don't.
You can take your opinion and you can shove it up your ass or your dick, whichever hurts more.
I wasn't going to say that much. I was just going to say, if that's you, don't. But we'll go with your answer instead. It was not Hulk Hogan, bass playing Hulk Hogan.
Well, you can shove that up your ass as well, or dick, or whichever hurts most.
I will put it right up the dick.
Yeah?
Right up the middle.
Right up the middle.
Right up the middle.
It's on sounding with Hulk Hogan.
Although I'm not going to say I stand with Hulk Hogan. Woo, no!
I mean, you just did. Somebody can clip out, they're not going to say.
No one is going to, no, don't touch that with a barge pole. I like my knees. Natalie Portman had been cast as Juliet, but she was believed to be too young for the part.
Right.
It was then offered to Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Interesting.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes.
She had scheduling conflicts, which meant that she couldn't do it. It was DiCaprio who proclaimed that Claire Danes should be cast. He felt that she was genuine in her line delivery and did not try to impress him by acting flirtatious, according to Wikipedia. That's Romeo and Juliet out this week in 1996, despite the disgust from Sam Driver when he saw it at school. It did very, very well.
To be honest, I saw it. It was like, it was the earliest entry I had into film studies, and it was a teacher that, I think he was just trying to get us to shut the fuck up. And it was a non-exam, yeah. But it was a whole thing where he was like, now count the shots. And so, well, why am I counting shots? Why am I doing like learning cutting rate before I know what any of this shit is? And it's like, count how many shots are in this scene. Count all this. Why is it moving there? And I'm sat there the entire time rolling my eyes like, nobody gives a fuck. And now it's what I do.
Yeah.
So I didn't give a shit about film until it was The Great Gatsby, ironically, with the Baz Luhrmann link. I read that over the summer because it was on the reading list and I had English and I wanted to take this homework exam early. Because I had like a massive week and it was like, can I just have this, please? Like, I've read it, I can do the thing now and it's done, I can give you it and that's it. And it just led to this whole back and forward argument. So I was like, fuck this, doing film studies. And then film studies was like, oh, fuck this, I'll go watch films and it'll be fun. And there was one teacher who showed you, like, you know, it's like, oh, we'll watch Shaun of the Dead, and oh, we'll do all this stuff, and oh, we'll watch Reservoir Dogs. And there was another teacher who was like, I'm going to show you some, like, really niche, weird fucking French thing. And this is how you set up a tripod, and this is how you edit. Mm-hmm. And much more interesting, much more engaging than the teacher who was sat there going, Pleasantville is the greatest film I've ever seen. And like in middle school, because he showed us Pleasantville and then fucking Romeo and Juliet, and it was just like pulling your eyes out with boredom.
Number one movie in the UK this week, right. Dragonheart, we talked about it last week. Yeah. Back, still hanging on in there. Macarena, still hanging on at US number one. It's been there for fucking ages. Number one song in the UK, Robson and Jerome. I know, right?
What became of the Likely Lads?
What becomes the Broken Hearted? Slash.
I don't remember
the. What became of the Likely Lads? Robson Jerome going, oh, what happened to you? Whatever happened to me?
It would work.
It would work, yeah. Actually. Robson Jerome doing What Becomes of the Broken Hearted? Slash Saturday Night at the Movies. Slash You'll Never Walk Alone.
Robson just casually becomes the bigger star all over TV, and then Jerome just sits him the fuck down by getting the role of Bronn eventually in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's like, oh yeah, Robson Green's in everything. He's a very personable British actor. Just make it. You need a dad in some sort of ITV4 part. He's the dad. You stick him in there. He does a fishing show. He can probably host a Saturday morning program. And then Jerome's just like, yeah, I'm Bronn. It's like, oh, much better. Cooler.
Here's a bag of money.
You didn't do anything for how many years? I'm Bronn now. All right, sweet.
Good. Robson's like, can I be Bronn as well? No, you can't.
Fuck off. Jerome's Bronn. Jerome's cool now. You've done too many Christmas things with the other guy who you do all the things with.
And as Sam has described there, Robson Green, Jerome Flynn, they were from the TV series in the UK, Soldier Soldier. They sang Unchained Melody on the show. As a part of a plot where a wedding entertainment didn't turn up, they got up and sang it. And it led to hundreds of letters from fans wanting to buy the song. This led to a bit of a crooning career for Robson and Jerome. It's the single from their second album, creatively titled Take Two.
And their B-sides, which it probably went on to be called The Cutting Room Floor.
Basically. I can't confirm that, but it probably was.
Deleted scenes.
Tonight, Nitro is up against a special episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. It's celebrating the 30th anniversary of the original Star Trek. The episode features Captain Benjamin Sisko and the crew traveling back in time to prevent the assassination of Captain James T. Kirk by a Klingon using a booby-trapped triple. Voyager produced a similar episode called Flashback some while later, but it was James T. It was our boy James T. Kirk popping up in Deep Space Nine.
Haven't watched Deep Space Nine. Have thought about watching Deep Space Nine, but after hearing that premise, I'm quite happy I've not borne witness to any Deep Space Nine. Was that legit? A booby-trapped tribble.
A booby-trapped tribble.
Just going to keep with the original series, original films, and Next Generation. That's it. That's stay inside the box. You can't go wrong with those.
One more bit of entertainment news. And you'll like this.
Right.
Right. This week, released worldwide, Santa with Muscles.
Oh, yeah. Well, it gets teased on the show.
It certainly does. A 1996 American comedy starring Hulk Hogan, directed by John Mulawski, which he apologizes for. It's the story of Blake Thorne, a conceited, self-made millionaire who sells bodybuilding supplements. Definitely not Hulk Hogan. Anyway, he hid from police in a Santa costume, ends up banging his head and having amnesia.
Ends up banging this woman called Mrs. Claus, whose husband's just died, and then he wakes up in a red jacket. And all of a sudden, he's got to deliver everybody's present.
Basically. Blake begins to think he really is Santa Claus. Meanwhile, the evil scientist, Ebner Frost, Ed Begley Jr., and his lab assistant, played by, of course, fucking Ed Leslie, tries to take over an orphanage in order to gain access to the magical crystals underneath.
Why do I recognize the name Ed Begley?
Ed Begley Jr., he's been in loads of stuff.
No, but isn't Ed Begley Sr. important as well?
Maybe.
Can you Google
Ed Begley? I can do a little quick Google.
I'm sure Ed Begley, like Sr., is a thing.
Let's have a look. Ed Begley. Well, Ed Begley Jr. Actor from, okay, he was in St. Elsewhere in 82 to 88.
No, like, I mean his dad.
Oh, his dad.
That's
apologies.
Why I'm saying Ed Begley Senior.
Apologies. Let me have a look. Ed Begley Senior was indeed an actor from theatre, radio, film, and television.
Ah, see, I don't.
He starred in The Unsinkable Molly Brown in 1964, yeah, as well as 12 Angry Men in 1957.
Fucking knew it. Yeah, there you go. Ed Begley.
Big Begley. And his son appeared in this, for which he must be immensely proud.
12 Angry Men, though. What a fucking film. Oh.
But anyway, so it's basically Hulk Hogan as Blake Thorne trying to save the orphanage from...
Why? Violence. But why would a self-centered millionaire want to save an orphanage?
Amnesia. He thinks he's Santa Claus.
But surely he'll check his bank account.
Well, let's not worry about that.
I need to watch Santa with muscles to make.
He thinks his bank account is under Santa Claus.
That's true.
So he doesn't know his PIN number.
Does he snap out of it at the end and then knock it down or something?
No, sadly not.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I know. The movie.
If he was like, I've done it, I've saved Christmas. And then somebody bonks him on the head and he's like, wait a minute. And he just torches
him. Fuck it. Christmas.
It just smash cuts to all the orphans sat opposite on the other side of the street looking at the orphanage burning down as he's just dancing around it.
The movie also starred, as we say, Ed fucking Leslie as a lab assistant. It also stars Garrett Morris from Saturday Night Live, Vulcan Lieutenant Savick from Star Trek 3 and 4, and 3 years before she became Meg Griffin, Mila Kunis.
Ah.
Shouldn't talk about that film very often for some reason.
Which, wait, what year was this? 96?
96.
She's not Meg in 99.
No, she's 3 years away from being Meg.
Yeah, which would be 99.
Yeah.
Which isn't season, no.
3 years.
Mila Kunis isn't Meg.
Oh, there's someone before her.
There's Lacey Chabert first.
But I thought that... But I didn't Family Guy start in 95?
No, Family Guy's like 99, I think.
Or 98?
I'm sure it's 99, and then it gets cancelled, and it was Britain who got it back on the air because we wanted more of it.
It was us, wasn't it?
But, and sorry for that, because, I mean, if you see the state it's currently in. AI Peter's very good, though. If you go on YouTube and you search AI Peter, it's just an AI doing the Seinfeld Forever thing.
Oh!
And you just prompt it. It's largely... unwatchable, but the points where it is watchable, it's like, you know what, it's just kind of like watching a scene from Family Guy.
So is this the evolution of, as you say, the never-ending episode of Seinfeld that
I'd
got,
say
that
to call it an evolution is probably a bit far. It's polite. Exactly the same. It's just as problematic. But when it all lines up, you're grand.
Oh, okay.
But no, Mila Kunis isn't she's not the initial Meg.
Shut up, Meg. Film critic Emmanuel Levi gave the film 2 out of 5.
Too many.
Joe Layden in Variety described Santa with Muscles as a weakling of a comedy and thought Hogan's performance was lacking the charisma of his previous work, such as Suburban Commando. Working from an irredeemably bland screenplay, John Mulawski directs with all the enthusiasm of someone going through the motions to pay off a debt.
It's really, really something in it. Like, it's just...
Chris Hicks from the Derisek News said that Hulk Hogan makes Arnold Schwarzenegger look like Laurence Olivier.
Do you know my favorite ever harsh review?
Yeah.
I can't remember who did it. It might have been The Guardian, but it was Only God Forgives. The film Only God Forgives with Ryan Gosling. And by Nicholas Winding Refn, so it's the Drive duo back together. A lot of neon, a lot of violence, a lot of, oh my God, trailer looks epic. Film itself, bit different, paced completely different to what you'd expect from the trailer. And a lot of people found it boring. And my favorite ever harsh review is just Only God Forgives as the title. This level of tediousness, 1 star. And it was like, just this level of tediousness, full stop. And I was like, fuck, you know. That was
Jesus
really
Christ, that's harsh. Do seek out Santa with Muscles this holiday season, though.
Yeah, do it. We should do that. We should watch along.
Flick philosopher calls it a deeply awful comedy.
Yeah, there's something beautiful to a shit film. We watched one on stream about some like abominable Iceman.
Nice.
And it was like, I think I was just really drunk. It was good. We're shouting. There's a load of skiing scenes. It was good. It was good. A lot of skiing away from a monster.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that. That's good fun. I want to see that. What's the film called? Was it one of those?
It's one of those free fucking
royalty free, like out of copyright type.
It probably has a name like Shivers or something, but it's just like, yeah, you'll find it.
Right. In wrestling news, the NWO are going to be leading a pay-per-view in January from Cedar Rapids.
Oh, really? Tell me more.
Well, all that we know right now is that it'll be an NWO branded pay-per-view and will feature NWO matches throughout the night. I can't imagine it going that well.
Well, if it's
all
NWO
baddies all the time.
If it's NWO branded and it's going to feature NWO matches, there's only like six of them, so three matches.
Well, I'm sure
they'll three matches. That's a hell of a fast pay-per-view.
They've got a bit of
$14.99. Three
might
matches.
Need to find some new members.
If we do that, it's just going to expand exponentially and it's going to bomb, Eric.
It's gonna weaken it.
It's gonna absolutely
like
bomb.
Robinson squash.
But also, if you're gonna have an NWO matches only show, that to me screams it's just NWO versus NWO. So we're just gonna infight? What are we gonna do? You're gonna get in the ring and pretend to have a match and read a book? Like, what's gonna happen?
This is the thing, and this is what we're learning about the whole NWO thing, is that they never planned an end game.
There's a massive amount of just wing it, isn't
there? Yeah, and they wing themselves into a corner, basically.
They wing themselves into a shoot.
brother. Nothing new on the Randy Savage front other than, according to The Observer, he's going to continue to work the house shows for 2 months. He's not booked to be on telly, and the no new deal has been signed.
Who gives a shit about Savage? I want to know about what happened with Hogan definitely getting rattled by Piper 2 weeks ago.
We might find out on this episode of Nitro.
No, because Hogan last week said that he was acting and it was his amazing acting skills, and then he posed for a bit. That was how Hogan wrapped up the show last week, and it was sort of like, okay, what are we going to get? Are we going to see Piper, Hogan? Is Piper coming into the company? And that's where we left the pin in it. You're telling me we're going to have advancement on that tonight?
Well, you would hope so. Let's dig into it and find out.
Let's have a dig.
Let's find out. We are in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Grand Rapids.
Larry Zbysko on commentary says, if nowhere got a middle, we're dead center. Why is it that Larry feels the need to start every show by going, oh, I'd shit here?
That's what I'd do.
Have you noticed that?
It's what I'd do.
Would you? I mean, yeah.
I'd be at every single venue, except like a one random place. Like, say, like Newcastle, obviously, or like just somewhere really random. Like, stick a pin in the middle of the map. If it was America, just some really small town. Other than that, all shitholes.
It's basically what he
you
does.
You start the show over, it's like, oh, fucking here in shitty Kansas. For fuck's sake. It smells awful here. The people are all fat. But welcome to Nitro.
You can enjoy the show. Shit here.
Smells like death.
Fireworks and pyro and excitement. Tony Schiavone says we're packed to the rafters. And speaking of rafters, Sting is in the rafters watching ominously in his proto crow Sting makeup.
This is the crow makeup.
Okay,
Sting's makeup is a ripoff of the crow makeup.
Okay, how about we say,
shit myself with rage.
You've got that disease again, haven't you?
Yeah.
Pancreatitis.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear about that, mate. I find a bit of Lemsip takes the edge off. So before you come down with pancreatitis, how about we call him Proto Crow Sting?
That's it. It's Proto Crow Sting.
Proto Crow Sting.
But it's crow makeup.
Okay.
It's crow makeup to the level that they're going to be told to fucking change that makeup up soon, I imagine.
So do we think a cease and desist causes him to look...
Well, I don't know if it'll be a cease and desist because doesn't Turner own the rights to the crow? I can't remember. There's some fucking... Either way, it's not... It's the crow makeup, but it's not the crow makeup in the sense.
I'm not going to lie. I think the later look looks far better. This looks...
It's so much better.
He looks a bit like a Pagliacci sad clown.
But he's just having a look, and I like that. He just pops up and he's just having a look.
He's just having a look, and yeah. I like that. So I like Sting having a good look.
Imagine getting a fucking fat paycheck to just turn up and have a bit of a look.
I'm having a good stare.
Hang out with his mates, order some Domino's, have a bit of a look.
Giant and Ted DiBiase are in the crowd looking up somewhat concerned. We don't know yet whether he has joined the NWO or not.
No. But more importantly, what the fuck are those two doing at the desk?
I put here, Bischoff.
How dare you?
Eric Bischoff is away.
He's away, so they come and sit at his desk just because they're allowed to tonight. If he sees them on the telly, he's going to lose his shit.
Basically, they're doing what my cat does. When I'm not in the bed, if I get out of bed, he just goes and goes, this is my bed now. Fine, thank you. So because Bischoff is away, and we'll find out why in a little bit, Tony Schiavone and Larry Zbyszko have been allowed on the big boy table.
They haven't been allowed. They've told themselves they're allowed.
They've just jumped on the table.
One of them should be fired next week. I'll leave it up to you to decide which.
I'm going to choose Larry.
No.
No blinking. I'm choosing Larry.
I think Larry has to stay. I can't have somebody who's nice to the towns as we enter them every week for Nitro. Move Tony. Put him on ringside. Make him the new Gene. Get him wanking.
Get him wanking!
Sting's lonely up there.
Go took him off. You love that. There's some weird bits of Nitro coming
Sting's
up.
Sting's just walking around like a Pokemon trainer. Like this.
Waiting for someone to walk towards him.
Waiting for someone to walk toward him. So you can challenge him to... wank, 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 wank. And it's just, you know, the Pokemon.
Gene use toss.
It's super effective.
It's super effective. Sting is tired. So it's not just Tony and Larry at the table, though. See what else is at the table? Is that a belt?
It is a belt. And I was like, which belt's that? And then I realized what you told me last week.
So we are on the verge of beginning a tournament, and it starts on this episode of Nitro, to crown a new WCW Ladies Champion. I like the use of ladies jumped out
ladies.
At me. Because the men's belt isn't called the Gentleman's Championship.
The Chappy Belt.
The Chap... I mean, that is amazing.
Chap Belt, Chapette Belt.
The Chap Belt and the Ladies Belt.
It's just...
It is that, you're right.
It's been almost 1 year since Medusa showed up.
Yeah, it's been...
One fucking year. They've had her in a couple of exhibition matches every now and then. She got to smash the fuck out of Bull Nakano's bike, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets put back in the draw. And now, only a year after throwing the other company's women's belt into the bin, is there a belt for her to compete for.
So you're saying that they hired her, they did very minimal with her, and they just bring her out when there's space? I mean, it's working for AEW, so why can't it work for WCW in the past?
It's just... What's the point of bringing in? You're not gonna. Why isn't this the point?
We're crowning a ladies champion.
It's been a year,
ladies
it's
champion.
It's been a year.
I know.
Part of that year's been NWO. I'll give you that. But the other part of the year's just been fucking Dungeon of Doom
been
sat with a thumb up their ass again.
Been busy forging the belt. The sun died, and they had to get the star restarted, didn't they? And Thor had to take the full heat of the sun for them to start the forge, so Peter Dinklage could build it.
Fuck's sake.
I like that bit in
I think they should have just fished the
Infinity War.
They should have fished the WWF one out of the bin and just stuck a sticker on it.
Oh, that'd have been fucking amazing.
That's how it feels.
I'd have loved it.
That's
if they
how
did
it
that.
Feels knowing there's been a whole fucking year.
I love that bit. That'd have been brilliant. Anyway, Bischoff's not here because he's off signing, trying to sign a huge match between Hogan and Piper. We will have an update on the Hogan Piper situation later tonight, because WCW has been inundated with phone calls and emails. At one point, they say that the website shut down.
Probably because...
Because there were so many people wanting to talk about Hogan and Piper.
But probably also because they were supposed to see the rest of that promo and never did.
That's probably why they're shutting down.
And also because they paid a shitload of money to see a whole event and never did.
Hogan and also Piper. Because,
what the fuck? And now, it really feels like, or like, wait, at a point where it's like, well, maybe Piper just never comes back, just shows up, buries Hogan, and never comes back.
No, of course not. They've teased the fact that Bischoff's not there signing this big match. I'm sure by the end of tonight we'll have a satisfying conclusion.
Piper's going to emerge with Bischoff or something.
Yeah, something big's going to happen later. It'd be foolish if he didn't. To the ring we go as Sting watches our opening contest. It's Brad Armstrong versus Marcus Bagwell with Scotty Riggs of the...
American Male Prostitutes. Bramstrong versus Bagger. They are. They're gigolos, aren't they? They're either strippers or gigolos.
You've turned Scotty on Riggs, the American males.
Scotty Riggs is a Christian gigolo. I'll give him that. But like, what is their
gigolo.
Gimmick? What is their gimmick?
American male.
Marcus Bagwell comes out with a little clip-on bow tie. All oiled up. The lyrics of their song. Talk
American.
About running for cover, ladies.
Yeah. Look out for your mother. We're going to run for cover.
Run for cover. Also have a crisp-pressed $100 note. And Marcus will do whatever you want.
I don't remember that part of the song.
Verse
I think
four.
I think I'm being gaslit again.
Verse four.
have a crisp, $100 I will do what you want. American meal.
Yeah.
We are strippers, like, and that is our gimmick. We're American meal.
It's hidden behind the of the vocals. Like, it's all in there.
You slow it down and reverse it.
It's like, the terms of our contractual status is thus, you pay us $100. But ultimately, I've not turned on them. I still love the American males. They're okay. Still my lads. I still love them a bit, but they are, their gimmick is male prostitute. And their lyrics are sort of concerning, considering that they are kind of either male strippers or prostitutes or something. Why are women having to run for cover?
I mean, arguably, if you're a male stripper, the one thing you don't want is women to run for cover.
No.
You want them to run towards you,
but not
with crisp $100 notes.
Yeah, with like a nice security guard, a barricade in between.
Maybe. You might, you know, be into that sort of thing.
Well, it depends. If you're a stripper, I mean, if you are going to do both, like the American males may well do, they might be strippers and gigolos, you might want there to be a security guard there for parts of it because it's like, hey, hands off the goods. You need a crisp pressed $100 bill to touch this penis.
You need a crisp pressed $100 bill to touch this penis. American males. It is a quality technical affair between the male prostitutes and Brad Armstrong.
It really is.
But the crowd are obsessed with being on the big screen, it seems, because it's a big screen and they can see themselves
every
on it.
Time they pop up, they're like, ah! And they all stand up and point.
Like they've never seen a telly before. God yeah. love you, Grand Rapids.
Darth Vader in the crowd in a fetching forest green jumper.
There is. And I love Darth Vader in his jumper.
There's some random kid painted like Pachiti dust. Do you see him?
I didn't see Vegeta.
Just some like proper scrawny little kid just painted gold.
Fucking A.
I was like, what the fuck?
Wrong show, mate.
But he just had like a weird pattern over his face painted on in like black stripes, but he was just gold. It's very bizarre.
Just like a WWE dress as gold dust as we do. There's a few notable moments in the crowd which we'll talk about throughout the night tonight. Bagwell is in charge after the break. A springboard clothesline, a dive to the outside. Armstrong seems to smack his head off the floor at one point, but he seems all right.
Yeah.
And you know what? Whilst the crowd are into the fact that they're on the screen, I think Marcus Bagwell thinks they're into him because he's really giving it socks by getting them G'd up. Like, come on! American males! Crisp $100 notes! Like he's got this clap thing that he's doing now.
I love this period of Bagwell's career because by the time we get to him following Scott around like a little winnet hanging from his ass, he becomes infuriating to deal with. But it's fun seeing a bit of the element of the late and buff Bagwell coming out here.
Giant has been watching this match from the crowd. He seems to get bored and leaves.
Yes.
Armstrong lands a stunning tornado DDT, but he is still apparently rattled from the dive because they do a little crisscross in the ring and Bagwell lands a crossbody in the middle and that gets the three.
It's less of a crossbody and more like if a lariat was a crossbody.
Like
he fucking slams into him.
A crariat.
It's just like getting hit by a fridge moving at the speed of a car. It's sort of like there's no way for Brad Armstrong but flat. When he gets connected with that.
But either way, really nice technical match.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed these
two. In fairness, like, it's a brand new arena. It's a sold out house. Standing room only, as they keep saying all night. Needed a hot opener. They got a hot opener out of it. And I think the crowd are, despite going, I'm on telly, they are enjoying it for the most part.
American male.
So far, at least.
We are on, according to Tony Schiavone, pins and needles tonight. Is that the right use of the word?
Tenterhooks.
I'd have said more. You're on more tenterhooks. Yeah. Pins and needles is like when you sit on your hand.
Yeah.
For a bit. Is that a strategy that wanking Mean Gene uses?
What?
To sit on your hand so it goes numb so it feels like someone else is doing it.
What? First off, what? Second.
Did I stutter?
Why would Gene do that?
I don't know. He might just, you know.
Tommy, you ever seen like a pro guitarist guy like a Steve Vai or a Joe Satriani?
I
do you think
have...
he could numb his left hand? And still be able to do what he does.
Probably not.
No.
I was thinking more of a downtime.
There you go.
For
just
Gene.
Here's a load of Novocaine in your left arm there, Steve Vai. Can you just smash me a Phrygian scale up and down that neck? Fast as possible, please.
I bet Gene could smash a Phrygian scale down.
Gene could, because cock. Gene doesn't need no numbing cream.
Gene doesn't need no numbing cream. Gene doesn't need no numbing
Gene
cream.
Gene actually proudly appeared in loads of... You remember WWF had the, like, no wanking? The ones where it was like... Real people, real athletes don't use drugs. And it was like just a shot of like Jake going,
No, these were spoofs. These were spoofs.
No, no.
But I love them because they come around every time. But then, and they all
were spoofs
rhyme.
Of original ones that were basically like, you don't do drugs. But like, it's that, but it's just me and Gene speaking on behalf of the Wanking Federation.
To mention those, since we touched on them, because I love those. They're little PSA spoofs that come around every so often. And it's got like Hulk Hogan saying, don't be silly, keep your hand off your willy. And they all rhyme, except Jake's, when it just goes, the only snake I touch is Damien. Stop wanking. Just fucking creases me every time I see it.
It's just, well, they're funny enough when they're the anti-drug PSAs, because it's like fucking looking at some of the people on the posters that's like, don't do drugs, kids.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Absolutely gassed to the fucking nines.
How could you do an advert for that without
you're
like,
a gimmick, brother. Terry Bollea injects the steroids. Hulk Hogan's never fucking touched them.
I get nosebleeds.
Terry Bollea, tiny cock, Hulk Hogan, 12-incher. This is how it works, right?
Is that how they reason it with themselves?
Well, yeah, you as a character have never touched steroids. The person playing the character might have.
Right. That's pretty how you get over it.
When you go to the gym, are you wearing those yellow and red trunks, Hulk, and knee pads and shit? No? Oh, it's not Hulk then, is it?
So it's Terrence.
You inject as much as you want there, Terrence.
You get those drugs right down your gullet,
Terrence,
man.
Notorious for it.
Notorious.
Hulk never fucking touched it.
That's true. That is
and
true.
And a massive cock on him and all.
A whopper of a pipe.
Not Terry, though.
Whopper of a penis. Diamond Dallas Page facing Ice Train in our next match. We get a picture-in-picture of Hall and Nash taunting taunting them from the ringside, from the crowd, with their new WCW tag team title belts. Nick Patrick is refereeing this match. Tony is immediately suspicious, as we all are.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Patrick is a piece of shit, as we know. He's had a run-in with Teddy Long a few times now, last week again, and now we've got Teddy Long's client in Ice Train out once again. Can I just say here, I love this match, but two things, just to get out ahead of it, so it's not going to interrupt the match flow too much. Why is Ice Train wearing red?
He should be wearing blue.
Should be wearing blue.
I agree. Second, wholeheartedly.
Like, surely those, you're being the Metro Center and seeing that, like, train that drives around.
I've driven it.
Right, so, yeah, like, I want one of those trains. Why don't we have this? And it's got a couple of extra valets on it, dressed up like they're snowy or whatever. And they're wearing, like, proper winter gear. But they drive down a train, one of those trains, but everything's full of ice. Every little carriage bit. And then they give out pieces of ice to the audience. And that's something they can take home with them.
Look,
it's like a
Mama
piece of wrestling history.
It's just water. Ah!
You can look. There'll be proper Ice Train ice you can buy that comes in a bag.
But like handing kids with, like, shards of ice.
Wait, sharpened? Tom,
no,
they're a monster.
No, because it's cold.
Like,
it's
cold.
You're putting cold
in
ice.
Michigan. They're probably used to it.
No, but not handling bare cold ice.
It's just a piece of ice. Just give them a bit of ice, bit of wrestling history. Just try to do something nice. So, try to do something nice.
You're as cold as ice. Trying to do something nice. So we're driving down the ring in the Metro Center train.
Yeah.
Are we throwing ice at kids?
Well, I mean, there's going to be additional valets.
Okay.
So they're going to be like, one's going to be on the back going like, yay, and just throwing it everywhere.
Like Lady Frost.
One or two are going to be kind of like just throwing them out the side. But then when we park up at the bottom, they're going to walk around and just hand out whole bits of ice.
I love it. I'm into it. I'm into it. I like how we're leaning into the ice and the train.
Yeah, and like then when the promotion drifts off course, right? That ice train's going to be there, just waiting ominously.
For what? To fucking strike? Hang on. You made it sinister again. When the promotion drifts off course, that train is going to wait ominously. I don't know what it's going to do.
It's a train.
Oh, that clears it up.
Oh, there, I've got to spell it out for you.
It's just like, I just picture like the Thomas the Tank eyes burning in the night.
Oh, yeah. It'd have to have like a legally distinct Thomas the Tank Engine face.
Yes.
Maybe just Ice Train's face. Maybe that's what we do, is we have steam come out of the eyes, but it's like ice steam. And Glacier, he's doing fuck all. He can be one of the valets. He can handle the ice.
Glacier and Lady Frost on the back.
Glacier can walk around when the kids are like, oh, it's melted. And he just freezes the kids.
Got sinister again. He doesn't freeze the ice, freezes the children.
Karate chops them and they explode like 100 million pieces.
30 kids shattered.
The guy just be like, what have you done? He's like, don't worry, buddy. I got you.
Michigan news.
You don't
30 children shattered to pieces at a wrestling show in Grand Rapids on Monday night.
All he had to say for himself when he was arrested was this. It just cuts to him being led into a car. He's like, stay cool.
Stay cool, you dickheads. So Ice Train is here. He's complicit in all this madness, apparently. Larry,
it's based on the front of the train, after all.
Is he in the captain's seat? It was the driver's seat. Is he driving the train?
He stood on the front of the train with one foot on the roof of the driver bit and the other on the front of the train.
We're going to need a bigger train.
And his face, he's massive. His face is like printed off on a bit of A4, but like cut out into a circle and like sellotaped on the front. And then behind that, through his eyes, you get ice steam come out.
Fucking amazing. God rest him. God bless him. Larry at one point says, Ice Train looks like he has four legs. Like a horse.
Just four legs.
He just says, he looks like he's got four legs. I know what Larry meant. It took me half a second to realise. Obviously, he meant because Ice Train's got thick old legs.
Yes.
Thick boy. the terminology to describe it, it looks like he has four legs.
I'm just thinking of like two legs for hands and arms. He's got 2 feet at the end instead of hands.
He can't drive the train like that.
No, it's why he stands on the front.
It's why he's clip-clopped on the front.
Yeah.
It's like a horse. Good back and forth with Paige and Train. Ice Train kicks out of a neck breaker, and in doing so, DDP lands on top of Nick Patrick, who is in agony.
I fucking love that. Good, isn't it? It's really good.
Ice Train takes control, and Tony and Larry start questioning every near fall. Now, it seems to me that all the falls are very down the middle, like the count. But Tony and Larry are going, oh, I think that was a bit slow. Like that, because Nick Patrick has been such a dick for the last couple of weeks.
Well, no, we've got the teleprompter from WCW, which means when Hogan's coming out, you go, whose side is he on? And when something obvious is happening, you really telegraph it, as long as it's happening later in the night.
telegraph
it all the way there.
So that's exactly what's happening here. Train dumps Paige outside, and Hall and Nash hit the ring, right? And they attack Ice Train with their tag.
I knew they couldn't trust those pins.
Couldn't, could you?
Fucking. One, two, and because it was the third slow count, that's why they emerge.
That's the cue.
Yeah.
Nick Patrick's outside the ring helping like DDP as Hall and Nash hit the ring. They batter Ice Train with the tag titles, and then they leave. And Ice Train, and he must have got some fucking grief for this, just stood up like nothing happened.
In fairness, I, given that you don't really see much of Ice Train after this period of WCW, I don't know. Like, is it that there was just genuine sort of fuck you there, or is it like
it felt a bit like it just didn't sell it. It was really weird. Like, he got back to his feet. He was hit with the
in
title
fairness,
several
they,
times.
They need him to get up and take a diamond cutter though.
But
which
you would
is like,
you would at least get up and be like woozy and groggy, like, oh, I've got to get to my feet. He was up as if like nothing had happened.
It wasn't quite as severe as like the Ultimate Warrior pedigree sell.
No, it wasn't that. But yeah. It was still like, if you hadn't seen him be hit with title belts, you'd assume that he was just sort of standing off with Hall and Nash rather than having just taken a shoeing from them.
Well, I'd give them that level of shit as well. What are they going to go on to do? Be successful in the business? What do you mean they're already successful? What do you mean they've already made more money?
But like you say, it doesn't matter because DDP gets in the ring, hits a diamond cutter and gets the 1-2-3 onto Ice Train. I'm curious to see how much of him we see in the weeks to come.
Either way, I think it's a great offer in here. It's very simple, straightforward, fair, but nothing else is needed here. I think Ice Train looked fucking dominant, looked really dominant here. And this is the side of Ice Train that we only ever see every now and then. They let him just off and they let him go and he's able to be a powerhouse, bringing all the kind of explosive quickness that we see throughout this that I you just don't really see it a lot from Ice Train.
No.
Like, it's not. It's like they don't let him win or showcase himself as much.
Which is mad, because I think he's great.
Yeah, well, like, that's what I'm saying, is that when you see him in situations like this, it's like, how the fuck haven't you got that guy with, like, a TV belt around his waist
or
something? Yeah,
how do you not make him a guy? Like, seriously. He,
there's something there. Maybe Teddy isn't the right choice for manager, but there's a way we can make this work.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
WCW Cruiserweight title on the line next. Di Malenko facing Scotty Riggs. It's another dose of the American male prostitutes.
It is.
They're back again.
This is famously the match where Scotty Riggs ate 17 beef and bean burritos before heading down to the ring. He claims he was just famished and one thing led to another. And everyone likes to talk about Andre drinking loads of beers and wine and that, but props to the absolute bowel control on display here from Riggs.
Fuck it.
17 bean and beef burritos.
That's I can't tell anymore.
It's legit.
No.
Yeah, it's legit.
That is not legit.
It's fucking legit.
Is that legit?
No, it's legit.
He ate 17.
17 beef and
I don't
bean
know whether
burritos
you're lying
over
or
the course
not.
Of the day.
I've got to Google it. I've got to Google Scotty Riggs.
Scotty Riggs, beef burrito.
I think you're lying.
It's.
I think I've been caught in a web of lies.
Scotty Riggs, beef burrito.
I'm just gonna Google burrito because I can't imagine there's many.
Scotty Riggs burrito.
Scotty Riggs. I'm getting nothing. Hang on. No. I'm getting nothing about
them. I'm sure it was a PW Insider. Maybe had that.
Okay.
Or the Historic Wrestling Stories page.
Well, I can't see anything, but I will trust you. trust you to trust me.
Yep. That's...
Either way, it does shine a light on my very real concern when it comes to wrestling.
Shitting yourself
while wrestling.
Oh, you just poo before you go out.
Well, this is it. I remember, not to get too...
Just at the curtain, you just drop trowel. There's always a pile of poo next to the curtain.
That's what they call it, the gorilla
position. Why do you think you only ever see from the waist up in gorilla position?
Because everyone shits.
Because it's just shit
constantly
everywhere.
Constantly shit.
Smeared all over the wall. Undertaker writes his name in it.
I was managing Mickey the Dragon one night and I had a really bad gastrointestinal issue.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was out there were spots I had to remember, but I was terrified of I ate so many of those tablets, those bad stomach tablets, just in the thought of
antacids.
Yeah, like I ate so many of them, just thinking I'll just keep everything gummed up for as long as possible. And it worked in the sense that I didn't poo for 2 days. But but I remember the absolute fear of it. Like, this is the night I go out and I'm just going to... And I was like... And in my head, I'm going, if I need the loo during this match, I can't just go to the loo, can I? Even though the toilet's there, everyone will think it's part of the match or something, or it won't look right. So I've just got to just hopefully not shit my pants while I'm out there.
It's something that I remember... We discussed. We broached it with Jim Ross. The conversation somehow. I think he told the story of Vince accidentally like shitting himself or something before Raw. And then he's like, but that's why you, that's why you wear black pants at commentary. You know, you can't just run back to the toilet. If you need the toilet, you've got to go in your pants. And it's like, just the thought of sitting out there paying 20 grand for WrestleMania seats right behind commentary, and it just stinks of shit. Can you imagine?
Stinks of shit. That's it as well. For Mania, sat out there for like 5 hours. Well,
the teams switch around now, don't they?
They did, but I know now shows are shorter.
Yeah.
Which is a help. But back, like, doing those 5 hour Manias,
yeah,
I'd just be frightened of shit in my pants.
You'd think they'd just give him a big chair that was also a toilet.
That's a good way of doing it. I'd take a bottle with me. If there was a way that you could sort of discreetly take a piss in a bottle, or you could at least alleviate.
If there was a tablecloth, you might get away with it.
Mm.
Maybe. But I think they'd just rather you piss yourself.
Yeah. I guess somebody could film
near all those electrical cables. Nice and safe. Yeah.
Anyway, the more you know. As the match gets underway, Six rocks up in the crowd, along with some NWO signs. So Six apparently wants the Cruiserweight title, which is why he's here. So he will maybe get his hands on that at some point.
What he'll never get his hands on is the record for the amount of bean and beef burritos eaten before a match.
I want to break it now. Riggs sends Malenko packing. He lands a dive outside the ring. He's got the champ on the ropes here. Some dissension among the American males, potentially, because Malenko ends up knocking Scotty Riggs off the top rope to the floor. Bagwell looks fucking livid with him.
Look, Bagwell was getting cheers, right?
Yeah.
Scotty Riggs, who's he?
He's his tag partner.
He's a fucking nobody, mate.
Oh.
Scotty Riggs is not getting the same cheers that Buff Bagwell was getting when the fans were seeing themselves on that screen.
That's true.
Scotty Riggs is not a star. Buff Bagwell is the star.
And boy,
this is the night where Buff was born. He heard those crowd people cheering, and he knew, I've got to shed the dead weight that is Scotty Riggs.
Oh.
And I've got to bust out on my own and follow Scott Steiner around and be a star.
Bagwell ends up rolling Riggs back into the ring, and in doing so, Malenko covers him for the win, and then Bagwell chews out Riggs, going, what'd you do that for? I chucked you back in the ring to get you to get back into it, and you lost, you dickhead.
Yeah, but it's like, you've got to get him up and get him to his feet, Marcus, and you've got to let him get his bearings, Marcus, and then throw him back in. He was on like a three. It's not like he's going to get counted out straight away. Let him get his bearings, then throw him back in. So Marcus has really fucked Scotty's chances here, and I'm really annoyed. I want Scotty to be the one who goes forward and be the big star here.
Well, we don't know that yet, because as far as tonight goes, American males are still a thing.
If he keeps up that burrito work, though, I think he could be bigger
possibly
than
made up
bigger
burrito.
Than Austin.
He will, yeah, if he eats, do you know what? If you ate 17 burritos a night, of course you'd be bigger
Austin
than Austin.
Austin couldn't eat 17 burritos.
No, but if you ate 17 a night, you would be bigger than Austin.
Yeah,
you'd be bigger than an Austin Allegro.
If you don't work out, it's called bulking.
I'm in my 40th year of bulking. I'm proud to say. I will start the cutting at some point. We get a recap from last week of Guerrero versus Benoit, that match where they were both haggard.
Yes.
Eddie is hurt this week even more so, and as a result he's missing Nitro, but we have a Benoit Guerrero rematch, but this time Eddie Guerrero is being played by the Gobbledygooker,
yes,
aka Hector Guerrero.
What a fantastic fucking cape on him.
Oh. Ooh. I know, right?
What a cape.
A very different Guerrero and Benoit match, which I am into.
Hector here with the hair and mustache and cape looks like he would fit seamlessly into the Fabulous Rougeaus.
He really does, doesn't he?
Just gave him a cheap blonde dye job, he'd be a Rougeau.
On talking about the Benoit and Guerrero match from last week and the pain both guys were in, Larry Zbyszko says, the game is all about pain, and if you can't take the pain, don't go in the wrestling kitchen.
And then he probably finished it off with like Chris Ben puke.
Of the New World Order. He got his spoonerisms crossed there. God love him. Picture in picture from the Taskmaster, which we were both very confused and concerned by, weren't we?
Well, he kind of alludes to Benoit trying to shag his wife again.
Yeah.
Which he alluded to last week.
Which is true.
But then he says that in Baltimore you'll see him in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So I don't know what any of it fucking means.
And he's going to learn, and in Baltimore, in the bathroom, he's going to learn about things the easy way or the hard way.
Yeah. But
of course, bear in mind that they had that match in which it was a false count anywhere, and they ended up in the bathroom a few months back. So maybe it's a reference to that.
It's a deep fucking callback.
That is a deep fucking callback.
I'll see you in the Nether Realm. Would have probably been better. Bring Ben water. It's not hot.
I'd love that. Hector gets a springboard Vader bomb to the outside. I've never seen that. Fairly simple, very effective. I liked
it. He's class.
He's great, he's Hector class. Guerrero.
Second you take him out the stupid outfit, he's amazing.
He's brilliant. Benoit and Guerrero battle into hour two as Larry hot seats with Bobby Heenan for the rest of this. Somebody has appeared in the crowd to the left of the screen. We don't know who or what, but everybody's looking off to the left of the screen, their right. And not watching the match. And we never reference what this is. It's just something I observed from the crowd. Thought was weird.
Probably somebody getting kicked out.
Very likely, yeah.
Trying to smoke a Slim Jim or something.
Don't smoke Slim Jims in Grand Rapids. Benoit ends up rolling up Hector after a late hair pull from Woman. So Woman goes to break up a cover.
Yeah.
But she is very late to do so. So they end up, it looks a bit fudged. So the ref sort of stops counting until Woman gets there and then pulls the hair of Hector. And that leads to a roll up for Benoit to get the win.
In which he gets the three. And then after he gets the three, he puts his feet on the ropes to cheat.
It's weird, isn't it?
I think force of habit. Just horseman.
Horseman shit, innit? Mm. They kind of fudged the finish, but I enjoyed watching Eddie versus Hector.
Oh, yeah.
Really, like a nice little wrestling
curiosity.
Chris
versus Hector.
Chris versus Hector. Sorry, not Eddie versus Hector. Chris versus... It was a nice little wrestling curiosity to see this particular Benoit Guerrero clash.
It was just a slightly different dynamic, but dynamic enough as a match to keep the audience engaged when they weren't being distracted. Off to the side.
Other stuff. We get a recap of Giant and Jarrett's showdown from last week on Nitro. And then Mike Tenay is interviewing the Horsemen. Benoit, Woman, Mongo, Deborah, and my best friend, Jeff Jarrett.
He's for horse-a-viewing them, actually. Interviewing them.
Jeff Jarrett calls himself the lead horseman.
And then immediately shit starts to go south.
Because he gets cut off by Benoit and Mongo and they're fucking livid.
Benoit's basically just like, horseman business will be dealt with by horsemen. And Mongo's just like, Mongo just shits on him.
Mongo's like, you can't just walk in here and claim to be a horseman and claim to be the leader. But Jarrett is just to the off of the side of the screen, completely ignoring this and be like, yeah, come on. Fucking he's great here. I like when Jeff Jarrett is just... I love that. If this leads to Jeff Jarrett just playing the oblivious leader of the horsemen. Mwah.
Well, this is what they fucking say when he's like, I was a horseman. Say, you weren't. You were a patsy for the horsemen.
He was a horseman.
Does it count?
Yes.
I'd argue Lex is a more established horseman than...
Somebody published online a full extensive list of all the factions that my best friend Jeff Jarrett has been in.
He's technically in the horseman. That's not what we're arguing about. We're arguing whether he is a horseman.
100%.
I don't think he
is. Your Honor.
I don't think he is. I think he's in the horseman, but they very clearly don't want him in there.
He's a horseman.
They very clearly don't want him in there.
Paul Roma counts as a horseman. Jeff Jarrett counts as a horseman.
Should Paul Roma count as a horseman?
Yes, because Jeff Jarrett counts as a horseman.
You're using them to prop each other up here, so I'm just going to argue no for both.
They're two broken chairs that are propping each other up. Jeff Jarrett, right? Thank you to Alan Cheapshot that brought this to my attention. Jeff Jarrett has belonged to the Four Horsemen, the NWO, the Bullet Club, the Frontline, Immortal, Jarrett Enterprises.
I think his Bullet Club run was very similar to his Horseman run.
Still
here.
A Bullet Clubber.
Are you a Bullet Clubber if you insist on it on your own?
There is a picture of Jeff Jarrett
when you turn up
surrounded by the Bullet Club wearing a Bullet Club t-shirt.
When you turn up with a Bullet Club guitar and you're like, guys, and they're like, he's made the fucking guitar.
Still counts.
And they have to have a little, just quickly, time out. And then they all turn their backs to him and huddle and it's like, and you just hear a load of mumbling. Then they turn around and they're like, I suppose for tonight only. And they throw him a sweaty shirt.
Still counts. Still counts. Southern Justice, Global Force Gold, Kings of Wrestling, La Legion Extranjera.
Which everybody's been a fucking part of.
Yep. La Nueva Sociedad.
Which, again, is just, it's a combination of, well, it's a new version of the La Sociedad, which is just a combination of the two biggest foreign stables in Mexico.
The NWA stable in the WWF.
Fucking hell, that's a deep cut.
The New Blood.
Yeah.
The Elite in WCW.
How the fuck was he in the New Blood? I know it's only
a New Blood.
I know it's only a few years from here, but he's an old boy by the time
New Blood.
By the time the New Blood rolls around, he's an old boy.
New Blood. It's not about age. It's about miles, and the others had more miles than him.
Others had more miles than the son of a fucking wrestling promoter who has wrestled since he was like 12.
What I love is that Jeff Jarrett and Diamond Dallas Page are on opposing groups, like DDP in the Millionaires Club and Jarrett in the New Blood. It's fucking ace. The Magnificent Seven.
Yes.
Planet Jarrett.
Of course.
And his current faction, Total Nonstop Arseholes. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Yeah. He has done it all. He's done it all, baby.
But I'd argue that...
He's done everything but DX and the Nation of Domination.
I'd still argue that he's not a proper horseman.
Of course he is.
Look at how they're treating him.
Doesn't matter. Treating him badly, he's still in the horseman. Eric Young was bullied in Team Canada.
Mm-hmm.
He was still in Team Canada.
Yeah, but you can be in the horseman. But there's a difference between being in the horseman and being a horseman.
Ric Flair swore him in.
Yes, but
what more do you need?
The dirtiest player in the game. You're going to use him as a basis of trust.
No, the leader of the Four Horsemen I'm going to use as a basis of trust.
And you've got two other members here of the Four Horsemen who are looking at him and going...
But Flair is the top trump of the horsemen. So if Flair goes, you're in the horsemen, you're in the fucking horsemen.
But if those two guys...
It doesn't matter. They've not had the mileage in the horsemen that Flair's had. Flair built the horsemen. If Flair says you're in the horsemen, if Flair said a small dog was in the horsemen, that small dog would be in the horsemen.
Well, if you listen to my world, you'll know that Ric Flair frequently tells Jarrett he's also not a horseman. So I'd argue that Flair is correct on that if he's the leader.
I'm
the guy who founded the horsemen.
In our timeline.
The guy who started it. And he's the guy who's, yeah, it's he's
look,
not a
Ric
horseman.
Flair is old and senile and his words shouldn't be trusted. Jeff Jarrett was in the horsemen.
Oh, God.
My best friend, Jeff Jarrett, was definitely in the horseman.
I don't think he was.
He's there with him.
I think he's a patsy.
I think he's a patsy.
He's in the horseman, but he's not a horseman.
My friend, Jeff Jarrett, was defo in the horseman.
Yeah, he was in the horseman, but he's not a horseman.
Full on horseman, mate. I think he was a horseman. Livid. He's in the horseman.
I don't know.
Telling you. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell him about this conversation.
My argument is, yes, he's in the horseman, but I feel the horsemen are using him without him knowing because they're preying on him for the fact that he's a southern boy that loves the horseman.
I don't know why.
So they're using
him.
You
are so down on my best friend, Jeff Jarrett. I'm going to tell him how disparaging
Sam doesn't think that you're
you've
an official
been of his
horseman.
Horseman run.
All I'm saying is, trying to have his back here, they clearly are going to betray him. They're clearly using him as a patsy and preying on the fact that he's a southern wrestler who loves the horseman.
They're warm to him.
To make him a horseman to somehow either keep him not being a threat toward them out of the NWO or both. They might not even have a plan, but you know they're going to turn on him.
They're warm to him. He'll be fine.
Let's agree to disagree.
Mongo says he and Benoit are holding the fort down with Arn and Flair away and then they leave. So Jarrett has to stay. And Jarrett goes, I'm in the horseman.
See, they leave. They walk out on him in disgust. And you're like, he's a horseman.
But you know, but what I love is all of that fucking segment goes down.
Everybody knows he's not a horseman but him.
And that's why it's fucking great. Jarrett just acts like none of that happened. And he just goes, hey, I tell you what, I think WCW needs a leader. And I'm leading the horsemen, so I should lead WCW too.
Well, because he looks up to Sting, doesn't he?
He looked up to Sting.
Makes mention to Sting.
He says, Sting turned his back on the people. He says, Piper and Flair are possible leaders, but they're not around. He is. Hogan, you're going down.
Oh, and he calls people doughboys, which means they're fatties.
Yeah.
Which means if he'd been The Rock, last week he would have told the guy in the front row he's going to slap the herpes off his lips.
Oh, yes, he did.
Yeah.
That's good that was. I enjoyed that immensely. Old Hollywood Rock making an appearance.
We're going to get there, though, with Slapnuts eventually.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. The 1-800-COLLECT Road Report is here with our boy, Tony the Tiger.
I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida. Florida. Florida.
He is at a Nitro party in the Tampa, St. Petersburg area.
Yes.
The fuck you are, mate.
The silence in the background.
I'm at a Nitro party.
It's so funny. He says people are getting tickets to Nitro at the Bayfront Civic Center, but he's got to go back to the party. He sat on his own in his hotel room.
Somebody's turned up dressed like a weasel again.
Hey! Well, I gotta go. Someone's got their knob out. I'll see you later. Lee Marshall, signing off.
I've gotta get that guy down from the stage before the police get called.
Oh, stop!
Get over here.
Stop pulling me, supermodels. Oh, anyway, see you later, lads.
You just hear Eric behind the phone, be like, just get off the line. Get off the line. Get off the line.
One day, I hope Lee Marshall goes, well, I better get back to this party, see ya, but then leaves the phone off the hook. We can just hear him sobbing.
Just crying alone.
Just goes back to, anybody got a red strap?
Oh, I hate this job. Nigel's off to Tampa. Good luck with that. Stereotypical Oriental track number 4 brings Reina Hibuki to the ring. It is the Ladies' Championship Tournament. Mm. Thank God Mike Tenay is here to fill in some of the gaps.
It would be ropey going if not.
Yeah, it's Hibuki versus Medusa. Big pop for America.
Reina Hibuki is Akira Hokuto.
Nice. Thank you for filling that. You're my Mike Tenay here.
We're also going to be, we're going to see Zero pop up. Zero is Chigusa Nagayo, who's one half of the Crush Gals, who's arguably the most prolific
gimmick change, isn't it, for Chigusa Nagayo?
I believe so, but it becomes a gimmick that pops up again in time. I don't really know much about Joshi, but the little kind of background research she did on this tournament, I think she uses it again later on in her career at some point. May have used it beforehand, I'm not quite sure.
Shibuki jumps Medusa off the bell using hair mares and chokes. At one point, she's biting Medusa's fingers and toes. Mm-hmm. Lovely. Zero then stands at ringside along with Sonny Ono. Sonny Ono calls Medusa everything wrong with America and a chemical dumping ground filled with peroxide and plastic. Wow.
Just mouthing off while into the entire time he stood next to Chigusa Nagayo.
Despite
Zero, who's got just like grey face paint.
I really like Zero looks like she fucking
menacing as fuck.
Kill you.
Yeah, she would. She would. It's brutal.
Despite this, Medusa wins her match with an all-American German suplex. She's into round 2 of the women's tournament and looks like we're getting ready for a square down with Medusa and Zero.
Mm.
That's like where we're going. Simple, effective, fun.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I enjoyed it. The start of the ladies' title tournament.
Wait, simple, effective, S-E-F, Seth.
Jarrett.
Trying to think of a word. Cephalopod, if we can fill every other letter.
Cephalopod.
Like, it's
simple, effective, fun. How are we spelling cephalopod?
It begins with a C, so we're already...
We've already ruined it. Fine.
Either way.
Michael Wall Street is in action next. He's already got a sweat on.
Michael VK, Mr. Wall Street, actually.
Oh, I thought he was M. Wall Street, according to his little...
Oh, that's... Yes, so it's Michael VK, Mr. M. Wall Street.
Why? They're over-egging. Because they want to call him VK, because it's a little pop at Vince McMahon.
But how much money is he worth? If Trillionaire Ted's worth trillions and Billionaire Ted's only worth billions, why doesn't Trillionaire Ted buy the TV network?
I mean, that's a good point. And where does Michael Wall Street fit into all this?
And then fire all the wrestlers and just have NWO.
He could, but where does Wall Street fit into all this?
Well, I want to know how rich he is. Like, can he buy the company? Could he possibly outbuy Trillionaire Ted?
I feel like you've got Billionaire Ted that is Google.
Yeah.
You've got Trillionaire Ted, which is Amazon. And you've got Michael Wall Street, which is, I think, Ask Jeeves.
No, I think Michael Wall Street's more like a... I think he's secretly like a quadrillionaire.
Oh, quadrillionaire he's Michael.
Like, he might not be anything over here, but he like revolutionized an entire country in like, I don't know, like the Far East's like media and entertainment business or something. And now he's like a megastar. But we don't know. We don't know. But over there, Mike Rotunda's like household name.
Posters in every home.
On the box, every cereal box, every back of biscuits has just got him on. He's just like...
Rotunda number 1. Wall Street rocks Jericho, sends him to the floor. Wall Street slows it all the way down, uses an abdominal stretch to wear on Jericho. He goes at the speed we're used to him speeding at. Wall Street dominates, however Jericho catches him with an inside cradle. 1, 2, 3. All the days. Jericho's won very suddenly. Tony puts over how Jericho very quickly learned from his mistakes in this match and got the win on Wall Street.
Mm.
What do you reckon to that one? It wasn't like loads to talk about.
No, but it was sort of simple, effective crash, you know, situations. The crowd were into it. Mm-hmm. It feels like the crowd have been into it tonight more than they've been into it at other events, but part of that might be it's a brand new arena and you got people turning up to their first big event there and stuff. But it was a good showing for Wall Street. I feel even though he got handled quite easily, Jericho's on the rise. And usually we're seeing Wall Street just in fucking rest hold filled bore fests.
Yeah.
Because they're not letting him do anything. So it's nice to see him actually get to get in there and like yeet Jericho around, like physically be intimidating. Cause it's like, he's huge.
He doesn't do that very often in matches, does he?
No, like it feels like they've neutered him massively. And it's like, you know what you got on your hands here with Rotunda's? Like, you know, he's classic tag wrestler. So you can put him in tag action and he gets having that kind of joint psychology, coming up with like dual maneuvers together. He's able to do more power stuff because you just look at the size of him, but like it just feels like he's reduced into go out there and scowl and lose. And it's like, even if he's losing, he can look strong to a degree before getting handled easily or whatever by like a new style of wrestler. But I think, yeah, it's nice to see him at least get in there and have some offense.
Get a bit of stuff that
isn't
going
just
on.
Headlock, chin lock. Grind him into the mat. Oh, no. 1, 2, 3.
It's a new side of Wall Street that we have seen. A new Wolf of Wall Street, if you will. Nick Patrick is out with his attorney,
Patty's
who
lawyer.
We find out during commentary, his name is Alan Sharp.
Alan Sharp.
Alan Sharp.
Very sharp.
He's very sharp. He is a spicy boy. Same as last week here, Chris Jericho accuses Patrick of faking his neck injury and being in the NWO. Sharp tells Jericho that his walls are tumbling down. What a sassy bitch. He then lambasts his... Oh, he's about to start lambasting his dad. And then Teddy Long appears and calls out Nick Patrick's behavior towards his charge. Sharp reminds us that Teddy Long was a referee himself until he was suspended.
And then Jericho was like, hey, let's not bring up people's past actions. We're not here to talk about past mistakes. Nobody wants to talk about past mistakes at all.
Jericho in 1996 said that. Patrick's premeditated plan against the WCW is all that they want to focus on.
Virgin and Ted in the audience looking very like...
Virgin?
Virgin and Ted.
Virgil?
Yeah, Virgin.
It's not for us to say how much action he's had.
Virgin and Ted are in the audience. His character, Virgin, is clearly a virgin because his name's Virgin. So Virgin and Ted are in the audience watching. I know he's called Vince now, but he's Virgin still.
They are watching on at this point.
Why doesn't it say WWE superstar Ted DiBiase and Virgil and Virgin and Vince?
It's a lot, it's four
Vincent.
People. Could you expect four people to be sat there?
Do you expect two to be sat there with the current banner? I mean, if the signed baseballs aren't covering up Ted DiBiase.
It's not just Virgin and Ted that we see in this particular shot, though.
No.
There's a really unsettling bit where someone has a Hulk Hogan figure. Now, I had this Hulk Hogan figure growing up.
It's one of the big boy ones.
It's the drawstring one. So you pull the back and he goes, feel the power of Hulkamania.
Never do steroids, brother.
Hulk's the rules, brother. Say, train, take your prayers and eat your vitamins.
Pastamania, coming to a shop near you.
Not guilty.
Ninjas, brother.
All the famous phrases. Like,
I only used steroids 3 times in my career, and they were all to rehabilitate an injury in my arm. Arsenio Hall. And he's just a full recording of the interview.
I have no comment for Gorka. Like all the famous Hulk Hogan phrases.
Hulk Hogan has a 6-inch penis. Sorry. Hulk Hogan has a 12-inch penis.
Shouldn't date. And, you know, all the famous Hulk Hogan phrases.
Yeah, Bubba, I'll take care of your wife. Yeah. What's that recorder over there? Don't worry about it.
Do not want my daughter to date Bully Ray. So we see this in the crowd, but someone's wrapped the cord around the throat.
Somebody's hanging the Hogan by its own cord. It's quite morbid.
It is quite morbid.
Just dangling him round.
With the drawstring cord around his throat. Weird little
crowd's
shot.
Crowd's wild tonight, man.
They
we've
are
got the, we've got the painted gold guy. We've got like, it's all popping up.
Have we had the two lads that you pointed out pop up yet?
Oh, they've been on camera all night. There's two lads with what appear to be either homemade or hooky NWO shirts in the audience. One's white, one's black, the shirts. And they got the inverted like pattern to the white shirt as the black print, black shirt as the white print. And it's sort of like the NWO logo. But the more you look at it, the more it's like, that's not the NWO.
It looks dodgy, doesn't it?
Did you buy those in the car park from a bloke who said they were a fiver? Did you? Because there's just an entire row of normal NWO shirts, and then just these two guys with like colour swapped.
Sat together as if they've gone...
NWO in like block Arial.
That's what it is. Yeah. Oh, it's...
Or Impact font.
But we just go, oh, I think we made a mistake here, Steve. I think we should have bought them from the website. We got a recap of Lex Luger versus Booker from last week. Luger ran off to find Sting, and Sting left as he did so, leading to a count out. So we're getting a rematch with Booker T and Lex Luger. Picture in picture has Luger saying that he's left calls and messages for Sting. He just wants 1 minute of his time to catch up, I guess.
I just want to know where you are, Steve. I just want to know what you're doing with your life. You know, we used to lock chin locks together and squash jobbers and that. And now you just want to sit up there. You don't want to talk to me, Steve.
Didn't have to cut me off.
What happened to the colorful outfit,
like
Steve?
It never happened, and now we were nothing.
Why are you wearing like a Texas Ranger duster, Steve?
Now you're just somebody that I used to know.
It's just hilarious that, you know, we've went through the whole rigmarole of a year of, or 2 years of will they, won't they with Luger. Like, is Luger the dick? Yes. Are they going to have Sting reveal whether he knows that Luger's a dick? No. Sting's a weird guy now. Okay, now Luger's the baby face we've got to get behind.
Basically. Yeah. Luger is dominant. He sends Booker flying out of the ring as we go to break. But Booker is in charge out of the break until Luger counters a suplex. Booker comes back with Booker comes back with an axe kick.
Luncher.
Throws him out of the ring into Sherry's waiting boot, who starts booting him.
Yes.
Colonel Parker. He comes out to cheer on Booker. And Sherry's like, why are you here, dickhead?
What the fuck are you doing here? You weren't here last week. You popped up in picture and you were like, everything's fine with Harlem Heat, the Colonel and Sherry. Don't worry about it. Don't even question it. Stop questioning everybody. Then he turns up this week, costs Booker the fucking match.
Because Lord knows, we don't need another storyline with a faction and dissension. There's only four of the fucking things happening at the moment. So Colonel Parker hops onto the apron to cheer on Booker T. It looks like Booker's going up for the Harlem hangover. Ends up costing him the match because Booker comes over to lambast him and Luger rolls up Booker for the three.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Colonel costs him the match. And
Colonel! Skinner.
Why is Sherry hanging around with him anyway?
I don't know, because
he already fucking left her at the altar for Medusa or whatever, and that never got paid off.
No.
He should be managing Medusa in this tournament and helping her win.
My sweet little mushroom pie.
My sweet little moon pie.
Moon pie. What a time to be alive.
My sweet little mushroom pie. A sugary mushroom pie.
Sugar pie, maybe.
Call somebody a mushroom. My lovely mushroom pie.
My lovely little steak and kidney pie.
God, you're such a corned beef pasty. You dirty little corned beef pasty.
What are the tinned pies called?
Oh, you fucking dirty Frey Bentos.
My lovely little Frey Bentos.
Do you know where Frey Bentos gets its name from?
The man who invented it, Frey Jimin Bentos.
No, it gets its name from the South American town of Frey Bentos, where they get all their beef from.
No!
Yes.
For realsies?
Yes.
That's amazing.
So we need to do a double stop. So you all need to just, come on. It's been years now. Pony up the money. Send us to Bisto. Fucking Bisto. Bisto? What am I talking
send
about?
Send us to Bisto.
Send us to then Bovril. And then send us to Frey Bentos. Come on.
Do Frey Bentos... Okay, so initially it would have started that way. My thinking is, do Frey Bentos still get the meat from Frey Bentos?
I believe so.
Or is it one of those things now where they've just sort of taken control
of There's probably
a
multinational marketing corporation. I mean, most of the beef is just in the world. It's like put on ships, right?
Mm.
Which is why like beef is really bad for the environment. Mm. Which is why like... When it's like people go, oh, vegan is such, just eat less beef. Just eat less beef. If you're going to eat less anything, eat less beef. Because it's fucking.
Less beef.
Pollution is fucking insane. But no, I think if they are still shipping their meat, it's probably coming from there. But Frey Bentos is named after a town or a city called Frey Bentos.
Well, the more you.
But yeah,
know.
Bisto's probably somewhere near Leeds. So we'll go Bisto first, fly from Bisto to Bovril, and then we'll go Bovril to Frey Bentos.
It's the savory mystery tour.
Yeah.
The savory mystery tour is coming drink all the meat.
All three places, we should probably take a bite out of the closest cow we can find. see what the meat tastes like.
And we go, yep, that is a Frey Bentos pie.
That is a Frey Bentos cow, yeah.
Because they have a different flavour to them to Frey Bentos.
Well, they've got a few different flavours, so we're probably going to eat a few different animals, so at least take a bite.
Can I get a peppered cow, please?
Can you just pass me that raw chicken from over there, lad? Raw? It's alive. Yeah, it's...
You know you've gone too far when you see an alive chicken and go, ah, a raw chicken.
That's what I mean. It's like you go to a raw cow in the field and we'll just take a big bite out of it and you know, see how it tastes.
We were on a farm once and they had little piglets and I went, ah, look at all the little bacon seeds.
You're a monster.
I'm a monster. Eric Bischoff's on the line, presumably because Lee Marshall's hung up. Eric's on. We're fine. Hey, look, remember earlier in the night? Eric Bischoff's not here because he is away negotiating a Piper Hogan match.
Imagine that we had Lee all silent behind. I'm gonna party, pal. Yeah. And Bischoff's like, I'm in a really serious business meeting. He's like, way, clink. Eric, get off the phone.
Get your knob out.
Is that wrestling bullshit again? Come on, we're trying to talk you over to baseball here. Come on, leave that in the dust.
Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, are we getting a match between the two? Well, the answer is, I don't know. Piper's management, Eric Bischoff says that Roddy Piper's management aren't happy with the idea of a match, possibly due to his movie commitments. So Eric Bischoff says, I'm now going to fly to Toronto and speak to Piper directly. That's the update. That's where we're at. What a way to make Piper look like a valiant babyface with his agent going, oh, could you commit that he can't fight Hogan? Why should he come out then?
Well, it's for me, it's more that he's like, me and Roddy are like best mates, but it's his managers, lads. It's his managers, you know?
Then why go
They're
to
just
his
getting
managers?
In the way. Just getting in the way. Why fucking approach him when you know he's about to shoot fucking film?
When you know that's going to happen.
And you know that Terry's going to go ape shit and Terry's not going to want to do anything. You know, Exactly. But either way, no, you know we're going to build toward this, so it's just more putting it off.
It is. It's stalling to the highest order. We get a replay of Hogan Piper from Halloween Havoc, and fuck me, we still don't get to hear the whole of the promo.
That
we
takes
get the
like
same
10
bit.
Minutes up of the broadcast as well.
And we still don't get the bit that we want to hear.
Yeah.
And then, as that finishes, the NWO come down. Hang on, am I watching the night show from last week?
You may as well, because the exact same thing happens.
Hogan's mic doesn't work straight away, but we get his spotlight eventually. He doesn't have an invite to the Cable Ace Awards on the 16th, where Ted Turner's going to be. He says if he doesn't win a Cable Ace Awards, he's going to crash the party.
And then he says he'll kill Ted Turner brutally if he doesn't get an award.
Basically.
Straight down the camera. He tells Ted, I will murder you, Ted.
That is one
I will I will use the NWO. We will murder you, Ted. We will. You get me an award.
Hogan says he put on a hell of an action
This isn't
gig.
Hulk. This is Terry. I will kill you, Ted. You get me an award. Roddy doesn't have an award.
Are we just playing a character? No, I'm being Terry Bollea, the man. I will bring
Sunglasses
a gun.
Are off. I'm telling you, I'll kill you.
I'll bring a gun to the Cable Ace Awards and I will shoot you. Oh, he's just joking. No,
I'll
I'm not.
A harpoon. It'll be dramatic.
Fucking harpoon. My God. I've been harpooned. That was Ted Turner. Hogan says he put on a hell of an acting gig to get Piper, to lead Piper to slaughter.
It was acting. I wasn't scared of what he was going to say. It was acting.
I was acting.
Yeah, I know that I looked like I was literally pissing my pants with fear, but I was acting.
May have looked like I was doing a thing, but I was only acting, said Chris Langham and Hulk Hogan. Piper isn't man enough to have a match with him, he says. So, and do you know what? As it stands, he's not.
Santa with muscles is coming out. Let's pose.
Basically, he ends by plugging Santa with muscles and then doing all the poses as Nitro goes off the air. Yay. Now, worth pointing out that this week, WCW execs are now acutely aware the crowd get really pissed off with Nitro because they don't see anything other than just long conversation bits and none of the stars. So there was a dark main event where Lex Luger came out and beat the Giant in a non-title match.
That's good. So that's what you need.
Crowd got to go home happy.
Yeah.
The idea of a dark match. What a great idea. What a concept that works. The last 15, 20 minutes of Nitro this week was almost a Xerox of last week.
It really let it down, didn't it?
Really let it down.
It was like, it was starting really strong, and it sort of, it's built its way through the night quite nicely. The pace has been all right, even though we've had the staple standard layout of a Nitro. You know, there's going to be somebody on the ramp at some point. There's going to be the big hour two switch over. We're going to have all the hard sense to the desk. We're going to have all this, and it's probably going to be NWO in the main event again, coming out and doing a segment, not a match. But by the time you sort of get to that final little push, that final 15 or so minutes, it just falls flat because of that, I think.
Flat on
because it, even though you've got the same sort of layout, it's just the build was just different.
It was just, but the, I said there was some good stuff in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Some lovely little seeds planted. I enjoyed seeing Ice Train and DDP. That was a good match.
Ice Train was class. Loved that.
I enjoyed Malenko and Riggs. I thought that the opener was good, but it was just the same old. I thought Jarrett, obviously, is a new leader of the Horsemen.
The tease of dissension in the American males.
Tease of dissension in the Horsemen. The tease of dissension in Harlem Heat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
everything's falling apart.
Everything's falling apart, but it's okay. I'm sure they've got a great narrative that sees WCW rally and send the NWO packing. I'm sure they've thought this out all the way to its end.
If not, we'll just bring a guy in, have him beat 180 people, and he can win.
That will work too.
Yeah,
that will work too. Anything you want to plug? Anything you got? It's Thursday. So you're streaming Thursdays.
It's Marble Mania. And also this weekend, obviously, all the coverage for Elimination Chamber. So do keep with the channel here.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the podcast feed, can confirm, I had a lovely chat with Michael Oku. One half of the absolute banger with him and Will Ospreay at Rev Pro High Stakes over the weekend, a match that Dave Meltzer was losing his mind over. So he, honestly, we get really behind the scenes and really inside baseball with Michael Oku on how they built that match and the tributes that were paid to Mad Curt in that match as well. Some really lovely conversation there. We finally got Gabby Tuft on. Gabby Tuft as a special guest on Desert Island Graps. Gabby is choosing three matches that she would watch while stranded on a desert island. And telling her story, from being Tyler Rex to Gabby Tuft and transitioning and getting back into wrestling as Gabby Tuft, as her real self. And I'm excited for you to hear it. It's a really lovely conversation. And for the latest wrestling news throughout the week, you can check out cultaholic.com. He's at the Sound Driver. I'm at Happy Christmas.
Santa I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida.
No, you're not, you liar.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.